So welcome to everyone. The Brahma Viharas they're a wonderful practice and wonderful set of teachings. And to talk about them in just this short evening doesn't really do them their justice. So if you have the time on Saturday, I'd really encourage you to do the day long with Lyndall, Lauren, Jerry, and Steve, who are going to be leading that. So tonight is really just a taste, hopefully a good taste. The Metta Sutta, which you can find in our resources, starts with the words, "This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness." This sutta is talking to us, we who are skilled in goodness, even at those times when we don't think we are. But with much of our practice, we can take with us this encouraging phrase that one of our visiting teachers, Philip Moffat, often uses, as best we are able. So we who are skilled in goodness, as best we are able. And as with any skill, the more we practice it, the better we are at it. So I started thinking, so what is this skill of goodness? I think it's a really well-developed sense of care and kindness. By well-developed, I mean accessible, pretty much whenever we need it. That kind of care and kind heart can be a real doorway for us to find out what is actually going on in any moment. It joins the mind as we explore and investigate. And I really want to emphasize that having heart practices isn't just a feel-good exercise. Just as we have a really firm ground in our bodies, like Arv was helping us do that in the guided meditation, we need a strong connection to our hearts. This practice, this path, is really about all three, mind, body, and heart. And when we blend metta together with our mindfulness, it's the first step of realizing that well-developed heart. Metta is the core of the Brahma Viharas. Without it, really nothing else manifests as its wholehearted entity. So we'll first explore a little bit about metta. First, some of the English translations. It's often translated as loving kindness. And for me, that's never really worked. For me, it's friendliness, kindness, goodwill, or standing next to, which is something that Christina Feldman uses. Those are easier ones for me. And I'd really encourage you to find your own words, your own translation that works best for you. Because if you're just quoting some other people's words, you can get really tangled up and find that that's an obstacle. There's a Zen teacher of many centuries ago, his name was Dogen. He describes the entire path as one of growing intimacy with life. And metta, I believe, is often the start of that intimacy, opening our hearts to life, opening ourselves to the full experience of life. In Buddhism, we also often talk about the two wings of wisdom and compassion, of wisdom and heart, described as like the two wings of freedom. The Brahma Viharas are the heart wing, understanding, heart, and we need both to walk this path. Tanissaro Bhikkhu says that the heart is the side of the mind that wants happiness. The head is the side that understands how cause and effect actually work. And he says, if your head can give priority to finding the causes of true happiness, and your heart can learn to embrace those causes, then the training of the mind can go far. Both are really needed. For those of you who've been practicing with Sims this year, you know, we've been using the Zen ox herding pictures. And we're in the last month, this month of November, where the Oxherder, the yogi, enters the marketplace. And one of the main understandings that the Oxherder takes with them as they enter the marketplace is the truth of interconnectedness, what Thich Nhat Hanh describes as the truth of interbeing. We and all the beings we meet are, in Thich Nhat Hanh's words, inter-are. So what we do with a metta practice especially, and all the four Brahma Viharas, is we bring the wish we have for ourselves, for happiness, ease, good health, and safety to all these other beings. And it all starts with metta. Other words in the sutta say, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none. Omitting none. Even after all these years, I just find that such a high bar, you know, but we practice with that, and there's learning that happens as we notice our tendency to want to cherry pick who deserves our metta and who doesn't. We can really learn about this when we try to send metta to ourselves. We see sometimes a reluctance to send ease and friendliness to the parts of ourselves that we don't like, the judgments, the envy, the fears, the small self that's trying to take over everything. And just as we are reluctant to embrace and send friendliness and goodwill to those parts of ourselves, we are also sometimes reluctant to stand next to those we don't like, those we disagree with, those who push our buttons, those we have labeled as wrong or dangerous. So the Metta Sutta sets out a very large imagination of the breadth of kindness. And I feel that in some ways it gives us our aspiration. When Arv and I were talking about this evening, we realized that, you know, these are pretty tumultuous times. There's so much anger, bullying, violent expressions of power, so much othering that makes you different from me, and therefore wrong or less than. And I think that as we practice with the Metta Sutta, the Metta practices, all the Brahma Viharas, it's really a time for us to make some choices. Do we join the throngs of the angry and violent and the bullies, or do we offer some balance of friendliness, a willingness to stand close, to learn from, and hopefully to deepen our understanding of those who are different from us? When 9/11 happened, wow, that was 21 years ago, Sylvia Borstein, one of the teachers at Spirit Rock, wrote in an article that she had made a commitment to not add any more anger to the environment we were in. That kind of commitment is something that we can make as just a first step in our metta practice. That we may not be fully ready to offer metta to all those others, but we can at least not add to the pot of anger and ill will. There's a quote that's been hanging around Facebook lately, which I think is a good one. It's from Marianne Williamson. She says, "Hate has talked so loudly for so long. Greed has talked so loudly for so long. Liars have talked so loudly for so long. Love has got to stop whispering." And I think that's a good way for us to think about our metta practice, giving voice to qualities of kindness and care. Many of us have listened to the podcasts on 10% Happier. Dan Harris brings a lot of Buddhist teachers there. And when he was discussing recently the Brahma Viharas, he said that for him, he describes his practice as faking it till he makes it. In other words, sometimes practice, you know, trying to come from a real heart space of friendliness, but sometimes we don't really feel that friendliness. He was offering that spending time with the phrases of goodwill to others has the result of tenderizing our hearts. It's good for us, even when we don't have the feeling for it. And yes, it can be difficult. Just the other day, it was right after the election, and I was really pleased just from coming from my own perspectives. I was pleased that the election deniers and the far-right candidates didn't do so well. And a very unkind thought entered my head. I was kind of caught up short by it. It was a gloating thought, a kind of, well, you got yours, so there. And there was this kind of seductive juiciness, you know, that those snotty, snarky kinds of thoughts have. But then part of the meta practice for me was I asked myself, if staying in that kind of mind state is where I'd find happiness, and I knew pretty clearly that it wasn't. The other day I shared this with some of the other local Dharma leaders, and one of them said, because sometimes we think, well, if we don't read so much news or watch so much news, maybe it will be easier. But this particular person said, I read a lot of news all the time, every day. But he said, I also do a lot of practice every day. The practice keeps my news intake in check and keeps my responses to the news in check. So it's not like we're not going to have our opinions. Metta is really the core of the Brahma Viharas. It isn't defeated by changing circumstances. It's not only present when everything is going just fine. In fact, the quality of friendliness can really withstand the presence of loss, anger, grief, sadness, frustration. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes where we bring the metta is to those mind states and emotions that are so difficult. We make sure that we take care of ourselves if someone is directing anger or ill will towards us. We don't just take whatever is dished out. We do what's necessary to be safe. But at the same time, we can decide not to meet anger with anger, not meet ill will with ill will. At the very least, and this is actually a big step, we can offer friendliness and goodwill to the state of mind in the other that fosters that kind of mistreatment. We can also offer friendliness to our own state of mind, like the one I was talking about when I was full of so much gloating and ill will. We know as we practice, we know how it feels when our minds are filled with ill will, frustration, or anger. We can send metta to that state of mind. It took me a long time to understand that offering metta phrases to others wasn't some kind of magic potion that was going to change the other person. The main thing that happens with metta practice is the softening, the tenderizing of our own hearts. It's coming from a softer and more open-hearted place, blended with wisdom, that really can help us see and be in the world with openness and understanding. Sharon Salzberg, who's one of the teachers, she's written so much about the Brahma Viharas. She says that the Brahma Viharas help us find union within ourselves and with the world outside. Eventually, we see that literally there is no inside and no outside. The one is just one. And she goes on to say that what we care about and what we do with our minds makes a difference in the world. When we practice with the Brahma Viharas, we can benefit ourselves and all of life. So as I said that, you know, metta practice can be difficult. And often when we're teaching it and we offer certain phrases, Sometimes suggested that we start with ourselves and then an easy person, then a benefactor, then a neutral person, and then a difficult person. But sometimes it's too hard to start with ourselves. So we start with somebody who's really easy. So metta, which, you know, the root word is to befriend. We turn toward whatever experience is in the moment, regardless of whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neither. It's the unshakable abiding of the heart. It's what enables the other three Brahmaviharas. It allows us to stand close to suffering, which allows for the arising of compassion. It allows us to celebrate the joys of others, the arising of mudita, and it helps liberate the self and the world from the toxicity of ill will. With mindfulness and the attitude of metta, we can really be alert to all the signs of aversion and alert ourselves to the causes of suffering. We resolve to not participate in the creation or the recreation of suffering. Metta can be a real gatekeeper for our minds and our hearts. Thank you for your attention.